Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Yeah. So when my parents told me that I kind of blew it in that aspect, I was like, oh gosh, no, because I really wanted to get that role. I was so invested in the character already. I was like, I have to get this role. So I was like, can you guys film me talking about myself? And they were like, and it's so weird. What are you talking about? And I was like, film me. I'm going to sit down. You're going to film me. And I'm going to talk about me and my life. Yeah. So that's what I did. And I just sat down. I used my closet as my background. I sat down from the camera and just talked for like 2 minutes, 5 minutes, just about me, my personality, my life. And I had my agent send it to them.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in the industry and I make them share some bad audition stories with me. If you're not subscribed to the show, make sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to it right now and check out the links in the show notes. There's all the social media stuff down there. Some fun things going on. Also, if you join our Patreon, which we just launched, you can get this entire interview on video. So check that out if you're interested. I just got back from Nashville. It was so fun. My two close friends moved there during the Panorama, and it was so fun to visit them. And I had like the best food of my life. Shout out to the Buttermilk Ranch and 210 Jack and Catbird Seat. Incredible food, just insane. I had a blast. Nashville, I will be back. Also, okay, if you live in Nashville or if you've been to Nashville or if you're going to Nashville, check out the White Limousine, which is like a Dolly Parton themed bar. So cool. So fun. Loved it. So that's it. That's life over here. And now I'm just getting back in the swing of things. And speaking of, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. Today we have Anae and Mirabelle Lee, twin sisters, both kicking butt, both fantastic actresses. You may remember Anae from the Babysitter's Club where she played Jessie, or maybe the film The Sun is Also a Star. Mirabelle has a new Disney series coming out called Saturdays, and you may have seen both of them in, you know, Veep and Slapface and Sydney to the Max, The Upshaws, Henry Dangerous Force, you know, Be Positive, everything, essentially. They are kicking butt out here, and it was so fun to talk to him. So here's my conversation with Anae and Mirabelle. And welcome to the show, Mirabelle and Anae.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming on. I'm so excited to talk to you both. You both are just kicking butt lately and doing so many fun things.
Thank you.
But before we get into all of the fun stuff that you're doing now, the first thing that I always like to do is go back in time and ask, what made you both want to be actors?
Honestly, there wasn't really a specific thing that made us want to become actors.
We kind of just got into the industry by accident, honestly.
Yeah, yes. we were always set up to become ballerinas. That's what our mom wanted us to become. And
wow.
Yeah, but then we got into modeling by accident because a photographer came up to us and asked us to model for his clothing line. And we were like, okay, why not? Like,
sure.
And then from those photos, we submitted to modeling agencies and stuff like that. And then our modeling agent sent us out on a movie audition. I don't even know how she got that audition, honestly, thinking about it. But we did it, and we got the role. And then from that experience being on set, I realized, like, at 5 years old, I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is so much fun. And yeah, now we're here.
And now you're here. Wow. So you were 5 when you first started this journey?
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, we were like four.
Yeah, we were 4. It was like 5 when we actually got onto set for the first time. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Do you have any recollection of what that first set was like?
I have a little bit. I remember we were really close with Zoe Saldana, who played our mother in the movie, mm-hmm. and she really took us under her wing because we didn't really know what we were doing.
My parents didn't know what we were doing.
nobody in our family has been
ever
actors.
Been in the entertainment industry.
Yeah,
like
our mother, our mom's a lawyer, our dad's an engineer, like so far off from acting.
Wow.
And yeah, none of them have been in this entertainment industry before, so
yeah,
kind of clueless.
Yeah, but so she just took us under her wing, and I remember on my last day, I like cried so hard, I had to leave her, and then like I was like embarrassed as crying, and she was like, "Why are you crying?" And I was like, I miss my grandmother. I miss my grandmother. She's like, "You miss your grandmother?" I was like, "Yeah, I miss my grandmother."
Like, it has nothing to do with you, Zoe. I swear. Wow. Well, lucky you to have Mama Lee being a lawyer. Hello. That's great to have in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I bet Mama comes in handy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
Okay. So you do this movie when you're 5. And then obviously, you know, for most people, maybe they don't know this, but when you're twins, you're a great asset as child actors because there's two of you, mm-hmm. and it makes things a lot easier. But I'm wondering, when did you kind of see the separation of saying, oh, we can have our own separate careers now, mm-hmm. as well as working together?
I don't think it was ever a moment where we decided to like have separate career. It was just like a day where they stopped booking us as twins and they just booked one of us instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because as you grow older, like now on set, we can work like, I don't know, 12 hours. I don't even know if that's actually the age.
Yeah.
I don't know how much. It's a lot though. Like I can work pretty much all day now, but when you're 5 years old, you can only work 5 hours.
Yeah.
So, and obviously you can't get like that on a movie set or on a TV show set. 5 hours seems like a lot, but like it's really not. So hiring twins is
super actors who can literally work
all day for 24 hours.
Like, so what we would do is one of us would work in the morning, and then while the other one would be in the trailer, and then when my time ran out, then Ripple would step on and she would take over. So then we could work all day.
I mean, it's incredible, and you know, it's something that I feel like a lot of people who aren't in the entertainment industry realize is that a lot of the times when you see younger actors, there are twins involved because it helps with the filming process.
It does. We did that recently, actually, for like the Weeknd music video.
Yeah.
That was a shock. I don't know. I honestly have no idea why they got booked twins for it.
Because the actor alongside us, he was also a child, and he worked, like, longer.
I think they just really liked us and wanted both of us and just couldn't decide. I think they were actually originally supposed to book for the boy who was playing opposite us. And I think it was supposed to be twins, too, but then Ian, the kid that they booked, was they just loved him
so
much.
He was just perfect.
He was perfect
for
it.
And then that whole process, I don't know why.
They just really liked us too, so we just
they just couldn't pick, and they were like, why not do both?
So I was like,
all
right, we just switched back and forth.
I mean, why not, right? You might as well.
I think all of the indoor scenes, that was Mirabelle, and then all of the outdoor scenes, that was me.
Wow. How was it working on a set with The Weeknd? Was it pretty cool?
It was so cool. We didn't end up meeting him. I wish. I would have died like if I had met him. I love The Weeknd.
It was such a confusing, crazy thing. Because we never auditioned for it. It was just one day my dad got a text message that I think we
and
were
it was
booked for it.
Really weird. We thought it was a scam.
Yeah, we thought it was a scam.
Because they don't contact my dad. Like, if anyone were to be contacted, it would be my mom.
Yeah.
You know?
First of all, they don't text when you book something. They don't
you
text
don't text you either.
No, they usually call you and say, hey, by the way, you just booked something.
Offer letter through email.
Yeah, or through our agents. So the fact that it came through our dad, we were like, what? Like, we don't even give our dad's number to anyone. So we were just really confused.
So, like, one day we were at school, and then my teacher was like, you guys are getting picked up early. And I was like, what? Okay. So, like, we get in the call, and you're like, okay, you guys are going to go film a music video. And I was like, what?
What?
Yeah, and we didn't find out it was The Weeknd's music video until we were literally on our way to set.
Yeah, because so they showed us, because they were like, oh, yeah, the video is for The Weeknd's Die For You. And then I thought that was a code name because I was like, well, the song has been out for a while. Like,
yeah.
No, why would they do that?
Nope.
No, then I showed who said they started playing the music, and I was like,
and it was, like, very much real. And I was on my way to set. I was like, okay, guys, so you need to keep the car, like, very close. Because this could totally be a scam.
They could be trying to kidnap us.
Like, so we gotta keep the car close. Keep the engine on.
We're gonna run out if anything's wrong.
No.
We stayed.
It was real.
Oh, my gosh. That is so weird. So random.
It was so random. I don't know how any of it happened. I did not audition. I don't know how they even knew who I was. But thank you.
Wow.
Thank you so much. It was really cool. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. I love that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about your most recent projects. I know you were recently in The Babysitter's Club. How was filming such an iconic book series and bringing that to life?
It was amazing being able to bring that series to life again, because I mean they had movies for the Babysitter's Club, they had another TV show for the Babysitter's Club, so this is something that they've rebooted before, and I think it was really cool to be able to do a reboot of it but in like modern times.
Yeah,
so that was really cool to do, and just bringing those books to life and bringing the characters to life. I remember when I auditioned for the part, I read so many Jessie books. That was my pastime in school. When we were filming the first season, I would just read all the Jessie books. And it was just, like, so fun just to be able to, like, play that character. I was reading the book. And I was like, wait, that's, like, kind of me.
I love that when you're reading about a character and you're like, dang, that is me. I got it. Cool. Interesting. And then, Mirabelle, we're going to get into your new show, Saturdays, but I want to talk to you about the animated show, El Defo, that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
So you voice three different characters?
Yes, I do. Sarah, Becky, and Ellen.
Okay, and do they interact with each other, or do you ever find yourself in the studio where you're just, like, talking to yourself?
I can't recall if they interact, because basically when you do, like, a voiceover show, you literally, like, it's not like you're filming with, like, other actors and you know exactly what's going on in the scene. Like, they literally tell you a line, say it, and you repeat it, and then they put it all in the show. So I think they interact. Actually, no, I don't think they do. I don't think they do, but it was, but since I'm playing, like, three different people, I'd have, like, three distinct voices. So that was a little hard, but with, like, our amazing director and, like, the help of Cece Bell, they helped me create, like, these super fun voices for them. So, yeah.
It's always interesting, too, when you're voicing a character, you're trying to find, like, how they would say certain words, because you have this distinct voice that you would make for them, and then you're like, wait a second, I don't think that's the voice, and then you, like, slip out of it, and you're like, wait a second, no, we gotta go back.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Yeah, it was very interesting, because, like, my audition, the voices I did for the audition, completely different from what's actually in the show, because, like, I know people that are, like, they're voiceover actors. I'm a voiceover actor, but I don't do that much voiceover. I usually do just, like, film and TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for my audition, like, I don't know why I didn't think to do, like, three different voices. Like, I just did them, like, slightly different, and then they were like, okay, we really like your voice, but, like, make it different. And I would just, like, put on, like, the dumbest voice I could possibly think of. And it worked, and they were like, that's awesome. We love that. And that was my voice for Ellen.
Wow.
That's the voiceover. The unexpected things happen. Like, there was this one time when I was younger, I was really sick. I had the cold. My throat was just, I don't know what type of disease I had, but my throat was messed up. My voice was super scratchy, super croaky, and I got this voiceover audition in. I was like, Mom and Dad, I can't do this. Like, my voice sounds a mess. I'm never going to book this. And I just do it anyways, and it's very quick. And I was like, okay, fine. I ended up booking it, but then when I have to film it, I'm no longer sick anymore.
Right, so you don't have that voice.
Like, the night before, I just, like, screamed into a pillow as much as I could.
Like, can you, like, do it, like, how you do in your audition? And she was like, oh, I was sick.
I was kind of sick when I filmed that.
Oh, my gosh. I that happened to me once. I had been auditioning for a pilot, and I had been sick, and I had lost my voice. And so when I went in, it was like, I had, like, this really cool, like, crackly voice and stuff, and then when I went to producers, they were like, that's not what I remember. I'm like, yeah. I tried screaming and singing really loud to get my voice back there. Did not work. So let's talk a little bit about the roles that you've done together. Did I see that it was Blacklist and Veep? Did you guys do those ones together?
Yeah, we did those when we were younger. We did those together. And that was, again, we did the whole, in the daytime, it was like, I forgot if it was mine or an A's, but we had, like, in the daytime, let's say it was me. Nighttime, it was an A. So we never really saw each other on set.
So funny.
But, like when one of us was in the trailer, like, we would literally be watching Barbie movies, and they would be like, okay, come to set now. I'd be like, okay, and we just switch off. See her for, like, 1 second. Oh, hi, Grandma, I'm set.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
And back to the show. So I know that you were a lot younger then, but did you guys ever talk about like how you would play the character, or were you mostly playing just how you thought each other would play it?
Why did we not talk about that?
We never planned.
That was kind of, why did we do that?
I think we just got really lucky and we ended up playing the character the same way.
Yeah. Thank God. Well, now, because I think back then, we were just, like, super, super alike. We, like, acted the exact same way, so it just came out the same. Now we, like, have completely different ways we would read, like, read lines. Like, it's very different. So if...
We just got lucky.
Yeah, we just got lucky. I think when I was younger, I just didn't think about, like, the logistics that much.
I would just, like, show up to set sometimes and be like, okay, I know my lines.
Right.
And I would just say it.
I would just
Let's have fun.
It. Yeah, that was,
and I probably should have like, we should have sat down together, like prepared, like, okay,
approach
this
character.
This is our personality, and this and that. Like, no, just didn't do it.
We just showed up and just.
I mean, because like in The Blacklist, the scene, it was pretty straightforward of how we should act. We got shot, so cry.
Yeah, just cry.
But like, we both just collectively decided to be like a moody 8-year-old, and we never talked about it. And I was
amazing.
Like, good job. Yes, we did that.
Just on the same wavelength there. The twin thing really worked in your favor.
Yes, actually.
That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about, Anae, you were in The Upshaws. Mm-hmm. How is that? Is that filmed in front of a live audience?
So it's a multi-camera show, but it wasn't filmed in front of a live audience simply because of COVID restrictions at the time.
Interesting.
So yeah, there was a lot of COVID restrictions during the time I was filming Upshaws. So yeah, there wasn't a live studio audience, but it was still multicam, which is very different from filming a single camera show like The Babysitter's Club is, because multicamera is very interesting. You could, when you turn this way, it's like, oh, this is a school hallway, but then you turn this way, cameras. Well, in single camera, it's like you're in a house. And, like, there's cameras in that house, but it's still always a house all around, you know? So
interesting that you had to film without a live audience in a show that would normally have that.
I think our live audience was the crew. They would do the laughing. And so when there was a funny line, they would say, ha, 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 ha. Like, that's what they would be doing.
Oh my gosh. The crew was probably more worn out than you guys at the end of the day just from laughing or whatever they were doing. And then Mirabelle, you're about to be on the brand new Disney show Saturdays. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I can say that a lot of roller skating, obviously, and that was so much fun. Roller skating is now like one of my favorite activities to do. But when I was, actually when all of us were auditioning, none of us knew how to roller skate. I mean, no, not none of us. Some of us did, but some of us didn't. But they put us all in, like, skate training no matter what.
Yeah.
But I don't know why we lied. Like, I mean, it worked out in our favor, but they're like, do you have any roller skating experience? And I was like, heck yeah, roller skating experience. I love going to the roller rink with my mom, and we practice our tricks together. That's a complete lie. I just wanted the role. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't matter because a lot of other people lied too. They knew it. It was fine. I just went to skate training, and I'm loving it, actually. Yeah. So, I just went to skate training, and I'm a really fast learner. So we had, like, I think 2 weeks to basically become professional roller skaters. And we have amazing stunt doubles, too. So they're doing all, like, the really complex, cool tricks. But we still have to, like, learn to, like, roller skate and, like, perform these routines. So it was stressful. Because you're on a time crunch and you're also, like, learning choreography and stuff.
Mm.
But we did it in the end and we all killed it.
Heck yes. And that comes out March 24th. Yes. That's very exciting. Rollerblading, man, that's cool.
Yeah, I did not know that, because I did not know that roller skating had, like
roller skating
whole competitions and
with
dancing and cool tricks. Like, I always associated roller skating with just going around the rink, you know. And but that's like, it's that's a part of the show, but it also shows like a whole other side of roller skating that I don't think a lot of people see, which is the competitions, and that's the fun part of it. And when we were filming those type of scenes, it was just has such an amazing energy to it.
That's so fun. You mentioned earlier that you guys would have completely different takes on a role now that you're older. Do you have different methods of breaking down roles too? Are there certain things or certain like superstitions that you have about how you break down something before you go into a room?
I don't know. The way I just like break down a role, I read the script. The first few times I read it, I try to do it like dry, not really adding anything to it, like personality wise, just so I can get the lines down. And what I like to do when I just film my auditions is I just like try it. I film it one way, like a bunch of times, and then it's just something my acting coach just told me to do. He was like, just do it different. Don't think about it. Don't even plan how you're gonna do it different, but just say it different. I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. Sure. but I just did it. And I was like, oh, wait. And I think it's just something that's just amazing about auditions, and specifically self-tapes. It's just finding the beauty in mistakes. There's so many times where I'll mess up on a line, and then I try to, like, jump back into it. But that mistake is something I could have never thought of, and it ends up being really good. And it's not anything anyone else can think of because it was a mistake. And so it's going to be completely different from everybody else, and it's just this unique kind of touch to your audition that makes you really stand out. Yeah. And that's awesome. Do that as well, but when preparing for a role, like when you got the role, no matter how small, no matter if it's small, big, whatever, I will always create a playlist of my character. We both do that. And it could be like off, it could be kind of off from what like the writers think that they would listen to. Because I remember in Saturdays, I made a whole playlist for my character because I would listen to that every single day on the van ride to set. And me and my castmates, we would also like, this sounds kind of crazy, but we would meditate to Rihanna.
And, oh, I love that.
And when you see the show, like, you're gonna know why we meditate to Rihanna, like, why we needed that energy. But because in, like, okay, we were, like, doing school, and they're like, okay, guys, work, like, do your schoolwork and stuff, but they, like, leave the room for a few seconds, and we're like, all right, meditation time, we put on Woo by Rihanna, we would sit in a circle, we'd go, like, whatever, to Woo by Rihanna, and then we would walk in a set with this, like, newfound confidence, like, we were literally walking a runway show, we would be silent, skating, like, tying our laces, go on set and kill it. And they were like, whoa, what did you guys do? And we're like, Rihanna. I love Rihanna. That's who.
It's amazing what music can do. Like, it really does get you into a certain mood, or it can change your mood or help you feel a certain way. I love that y'all did that. I think that's so brilliant.
Yes. And it seriously works. Like, I do it for, I now, like, meditate to, like, a specific song with, like, a character all the time now, because it's, like, it really just helps you, it helps you create, like, a backstory for it, because you can use the lyrics as, like, hey, this is what the character is going through in past time, you know? But it also just, like, you now can capture their energy with, like, the beats of the music.
Yeah. So on this show, we like to share audition stories that have gone awry, and you guys have shared a couple, but I'm wondering if you have any that you would like the listeners to know about to hear.
I think my audition process for the Babysitter's Club was pretty interesting. So I just did a regular self-tape. I had to also film a dancing part to that. So I got my ballet coach just to help me with that. That part was pretty normal. I submitted the self-tape. And I think it was like 1 or 2 days later, I got a call back that they wanted me to do a Zoom director session. And I was like, okay. You know, I did a bunch of research on Jesse, read like 1,000 different articles, read some chapters from books, and I went into that director session. I thought I killed it. Personally, I thought I killed it. And I when I hung up the call, my parents were like, oh, nay. And I was like, what? What did I do? And they're like,
she didn't realize.
You just blew it. And I was like, what are you talking about? I blew it.
Because Anae didn't realize that she was, like, really nervous, that she was kind of, like, silent.
Yeah, I didn't talk. So, really, the only time I talked was when I was saying my lines. And the number one rule that my mom taught me when I was really young for auditions is to never give one-worded answers. And that's exactly what I did. And it's like, because when I was younger, my mom would always teach me, like, you can never give one-worded answers. Because also, I was very big on commercials when I was younger, so they want to see your personality. Like, if they asked me, what's your favorite color? And I would say pink. And I would go on a whole spiel of why pink was my favorite color and how it became my favorite color. And that's exactly, that's what I should have done on this session. But I did not. And I was like, oh, where are you from? Philadelphia. How did you get into dance?
I was going to ask three.
My mom put me in it. My mom put me in dance.
And the entire family would just like secretly like listening in, like, oh, what's going on? And then we were like, this is not even a name.
Yeah.
Like, she killed it in her scenes. We're like, yeah, she killed that.
Oh my gosh.
But like, when showing her personality was, why did you do that?
Yeah. So when my parents told me that I kind of blew it in that aspect, I was like, oh gosh, no, because I really wanted to get that role. I was so invested in the character already. I was like, I have to get this role. So I was like, can you guys film me talking about myself? And they were like, Anae, that's so weird. What are you talking about? And I was like, film me. I'm going to sit down. You're going to film me. And I'm going to talk about me and my life. Yeah. So that's what I did. And I just sat down. I used my closet as my background. I sat down from the camera and just talked for like 2 minutes, 5 minutes. So just about me, my personality, my life. And I had my agent send it to them. And I booked it like a day later. So.
Oh my gosh. Brilliant. Good move.
And yeah, it was a very odd move, but it worked. Yeah.
Wow. Well, and it's cool too that you were like, you know what? That's not the end of it for me. I'm going to fix my mistake and I'm going to try to see how I can get this role, which worked. Amazing. Great story. Great story. And what about you, Mirabelle? You got one?
Okay. I think my funny audition story would probably be when, for Janie, for Blood Ties, with our first movie. Because basically, it was my first audition. I was a model. I was not an actor. I'd never even done any, like, stage performances at my school. No, nothing with acting, ever. So I go in, and there was, like, a few lines, and I just, like, just don't know what to do. Like, I just, I just didn't say my lines. Like, they were like, all right, action. And I just, like, didn't say my lines. I was playing with a little teddy bear they gave me, and I was adorable. Like, they were like, oh, she's cute, but like, why did she do that? And I was like, but I didn't know I was doing anything wrong, because like, I've never done an audition before. Commercial auditions are completely different. They literally, you go in, they go, hey, how was your summer break? You talk about your summer break. Hey, you booked the JCPenney commercial, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it is, at least for like little kids. So it was very different. I very much blew it. Yeah. Embarrassing when I look back at it. But then my mom was like, again, like, with our family, we don't go down without a fight. So my mom calls the casting director, A.B. Kaufman. A.B. Kaufman's, like, one of the biggest directors
in New York. Yeah,
she's
pretty big.
Yeah. And she calls her, and it's like, please give my girls another shot. And I don't even know how my mom had the confidence to do this.
Yeah, she used her little lawyer skills to convince her.
I don't know how she convinced her, because, again,
Miss Mama Lawyer comes in.
Yeah, right? I so blew it, I wouldn't even give myself another chance. Yeah. But this time, I was prepared. My mom was like, all right, this is exactly what you need to do. And I was like, oh, okay, like, maybe, now I know, I got this. I go in there, we go in there, we do the scene, and we book it on the spot. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Thanks. So, I don't know how I booked it on the spot either. So, that whole audition process was, I'd say, luck for me. It was just a lot of luck. Because I don't know, I went in there to audition for it, and she came out and was like, we would love to have the girls play Janie. And I was like, how did you even come to that conclusion? Because I was just playing with the teddy bear in my last audition 2 days ago. But I guess I killed it so much. And then they booked us, and then we spent a few months
in New York filming.
Wow, that is amazing. Shout out to Mama for one, having the courage to call Avi Kaufman, which I don't think I even have the courage to do.
I don't have the courage to call any casting director.
I mean, that's wild. And then also, like, instilling that same sort of tenacity in you both and seeing how that has actually helped you in your, you know, becoming adults as actors, which is amazing. So you're both, are you both still in school now?
Yes. We go to in-person school, which I really prefer. I know a lot of actors do online school, but I just can't.
I feel like I don't learn anything.
Yeah. Are you in high school or are you in college?
We're in high school.
We're in 10th grade.
Wow. Wow. Look at that. And then what do you guys think? Are you going to try to maybe do college at the same time as acting? Or are you going to take a break?
Yeah, I think so. We want to go to college in England. That's something we really want to do. So it really depends on like where I am in life. Ideally, I just want to do the whole, like I graduate high school, summer college.
Yeah.
But like, let's say if I'm working on a show at the time, I would probably have to take a gap year and then I would go to college. But I know for a fact that I will go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to go to college one day. I think that education is very important and I definitely want to get that higher sense of education, because we also want to study film studies, which is not really a class I can take in school, so I definitely want to do that, because we also we don't want to just be actors. Like, obviously want to be an actor for the rest of my life, but we also want to be script writers and directors and producers when we get older. So I think that would definitely help with our knowledge in the film industry.
Speaking of education, you guys started the Beatrice Martin Foundation. Can you tell the listeners what that is?
So the Beatrice Martin Foundation is a foundation to help promote literacy amongst young children. Just giving books to daycare centers, giving books to libraries and underprivileged communities, because I know how much books and reading have helped me and helped my family members. It's actually named the Beatrice Martin Foundation because Beatrice Martin is my grandmother's grandmother, and she introduced my grandmother to the love of reading because it came from very humble beginnings, and she didn't have much education, but her education was reading books, and that helped her so much just grow as a person and grow in her career.
Yeah, and then she, like, from that introduction for the love of reading, she ended up like going to college and like going getting a higher education,
and
she became a teacher, and then she taught my mom that same love of reading, and obviously my mother is a very, very smart person. She went to law school. Like, I honestly don't know that.
My mom passed that love of books to us as well, so we just want to do the same with other kids and just share the art of reading with everyone else, and just show that with the comfort of your bed or the comfort of your library with a book, you can travel all across the world and experience so many new things.
I love that. I think that's really important work, and it's beautiful that you have started that foundation in your great-grandma's name. I love that. Okay, so the last thing that we're going to do here is we're going to do a new thing. This is the first time we're doing this. It's going to be a lightning round. 5 questions, super quick.
Okay.
Don't think, just answer. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Texting or talking?
Depends on the person.
Depends on the
person.
You
know, if it's a new person, texting, because talking is kind of scary sometimes.
Yeah.
Gonna, ideally, talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
TikTok or Instagram?
TikTok.
That was so quick. Place you want to visit the most?
Ooh, England. Oh, Bora Bora.
Oh, yeah.
Bora Bora. Okay, show that you're binging right now.
Abbott Elementary, the Gossip Girl reboot. Yeah,
okay,
reboot.
And favorite actor or actress of all time?
Natalie Portman or Yaoirse Idi. Zendaya.
Oh, yeah, Zendaya.
Or Viola Davis.
Yeah.
Good job. Thank you. I love a little lightning round. Very fun. You were both very into the TikTok answer. Very quickly.
Yes, I'm on TikTok way too much. Yeah, I should probably
a lot.
I should probably not.
Well, speaking of social media, can you share what your social media is so that people can follow you on your journey?
Mm-hmm. My personal account is at @AnaeLee_.
My personal account is at @MirabelleLee.
And our account together is at @AnaeMirabelle.
And our TikTok is also at @AnaeMirabelle.
Amazing. And do you guys have anything on the horizon that is about to come out other than Saturdays or anything you're working on?
We have a show in development right now that's very exciting. It's with the two of us. So that's also very exciting. You get to act alongside each other, which is something that I don't think anyone's actually seen us do before because we've always shared roles or just been in separate stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we also have a skincare line that's set to come out in a few months, I think either April or May. So I'm so excited for the world to see that because not a lot of people know this, but skincare is actually like one of our like really great passions. So I'm really excited for people to see that.
Oh, heck yes. I'll be looking that up. Everybody needs some good skincare. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both for being on the show. It was so nice getting to know you, and I can't wait to see all the awesome things you do in your career.
Oh, thank you. Awesome.
It was great talking with you.
Thanks again to Anae and Mirabelle for coming on the show. Make sure to check out Mirabelle's new Disney Channel show, Saturdays, premiering March 24th. And if you haven't watched The Sun is Also a Star or Babysitter's Club or The Upshaws or anything else we talked about, you should go watch it because it's all really good. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.